So now I ask your attention, please, as Andrew Wood speaks to us on this subject of a changing world.
Good morning. I have about five different ways of doing this talk. When I walked in this morning, and I've been sat here now, I recognise you look like a friendly bunch. And most of you look awake, I think. So I'll be watching for anybody falling asleep. And it's my first time here, so I'm not sure after this next half an hour you can invite me back. So I'm going to grasp the opportunity and keep you engaged, hopefully.
You're starting well.
Thank you. We're going to talk about changing environment, and what I'm saying with that is that I see, I see God here, I see the world here trembling around, and then I see us. So if you can imagine a triangle, there's us, there's a trembling world, and there's the steady God. And I'm going to talk about changing environment. Even though I've tried to stop in my worldly life talking and using the word change, I think it holds negative connotations, whether that be in work, whether that be in ecclesial life, or whether that in family. I think when people hear the word change, they go, I'm off, I'm gone. But we as individuals have to change, we have to develop. Let's use the positive form of the word change. We have to develop. And we have to adapt constantly to this trembling world that we live in. However, we do try and make plans, and we do try and remain stable. And I think as I'm getting older, my personality is developing to one that wants a lot more routine. However, my careful planning, as most of us know, is vanity, to take a term from Ecclesiastes. However agitated I get about that, another word for that one is angry, about the change, a negative word again, and all this change that happens around me, however much I try and control those events around me, things change, things develop. And then I just look at Proverbs chapter 19, 21. I say this a lot, this is my new favourite verse. I have about 10 every week. After 20 years of studying, teaching in the study class in Sunday school, I should have learned a lot about this verse. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. This is where you start to become friendly. If you can take, I'm not going to make anybody jump out in the audience and do anything. If you can just take four pieces of paper each and pass them back. Get back to the microphone. And I'm going to carry on talking while you're doing that. I was given a parcel tag as I walked into a presentation recently. I was asked to write down a few words because the parcel tag was only the same size as the post-it note that's coming round. And the question I was given as I walked into the presentation, how would people like to remember you? It was anonymous. You were supposed to put the tag in the suitcase before the presentation started. So there was a suitcase at the side of the lectern, and you put the parcel tag in before the meeting started. Now, when I start asking you questions, you're going to go through the same psychological fight. I think we'll use the word is because. When I got this parcel tag in my hand and I got that question, what would you like to be remembered for? I tried every possible reason to not put anything on that parcel tag. Okay? And as again, you wanted to put something on the parcel tag and put it in the suitcase before the presentation started. I even tried to say, well, I haven't got a pen. So if any of you have not got a pen, I've got some spare pens. Okay? And this kind lady who sat next to me said, oh, I've got a pen if you want to carry on writing. And I thought, no, I don't really. Thank you. So you're supposed to put this parcel tag in before you started. The presentation came and went. Really interesting presentation. And I noticed there were about 10% of the parcel tags in the suitcase going through. And at the end, then, people started to put the parcel tags in there. So you'd be glad to know, I don't want these post-it notes back when you've finished, but I would like you to keep them and reflect on them. The presentation was given by a lady who's had mental health problems, serious mental health problems, and she'd wrote a book. Now, when she'd wrote the book, she realised that she ended up with a tag, a personal brand, if you like. Because what happened to this lady is she jumped off a very popular building in Sheffield, and she survived. But her brand, her tag from that moment on, was the lady that jumped. And she tried to change it however much, and I've seen her in the last week, and she tried to change it, but people still refer to her as Catherine, the lady that jumped. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We've read through Hebrews 11 purposely because the way that this started, the way that this talk started for me was about looking at Hebrews 11 and thinking to myself, would I fit in there? How do I fit in there? What kind of a person fits in Hebrews 11? And then I did a long study on Elisha. And it weren't until I'd done three or four different turns of this talk that somebody actually pointed out to me that Elisha is in Hebrews 11. So there's a challenge for you. Find where Elijah is in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 10, however, in verses 37 to 39, says, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will tarry not. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anybody draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Paul spent his anxious life waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus. The road to Damascus must have had a huge impact on Paul, and Paul preached for a long time. So he must have understood by using the word in this context, perdition, which means if you turn back, you're lost forever. He must have realised what that word was, to be lost forever. And perdition, when it comes later in Revelation, uses a word, also means eternal death. So you can see the contract between being lost and having this eternal death. Turn to John chapter 17. And from verse 6, we're going to read. And this is Jesus talking about his friends, his disciples. John chapter 17, verse 6. John's talking about his disciples. He's talking about the people that follow him and have followed him and have helped him through his journey. "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They are yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. For I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Father, keep through your name those who you have given me, that they may be as one, as we are. While I was in the world, sorry, While I was with them in the world, I kept in your name. Those who you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, except the son of perdition. Now there's a tag you don't want. Judas had a tag, the son of perdition. I'm sure he didn't start off to be remembered for those words. And as I've said recently, I've spent a lot of time looking at brand management. We have companies spending millions to protect their brand. But we also know one disastrous moment, whether that be in the newspapers, whether that be on Twitter, on Facebook, one moment, one bad word in the wrong place can ruin the whole reputation of you or your company. That's how the world is changing now. That's how open the world is. And that's why when you're looking at yourself, you have to be careful. So you should have got four pieces of paper by now. And hopefully you've got a pen. So what I want you to write on the first piece of paper is who your favourite Bible person is. So I'll give you a few minutes. Who is your favourite Bible person? I did say character. I was character, but Annabelle doesn't like the word character, so I got reprimanded. So who your favourite person is. You're not allowed to have Jesus. You're not allowed to have Noah. I'll give you the rest. Okay? That an easy one to start with? I'll give you another easy one. Post-it note number 2. When you was 10 years old, what did you want to be? When you was 10 years old, it can be somewhere around then, you don't have to be 10. When you was 10 years old, what did you want to be? Not a clue.
Not a clue.
20? Now? Okay. Third piece of paper. What changed? Why didn't you achieve what you wanted to be at 10? You're all laughing like not many of people succeeded what they wanted to be at 10. What changed? Why were your dreams at 10 spoiled? Or did you achieve them? Does anybody want to be brave and share their Bible character with me? And the reason why?
Ruth.
So inspiring. Has that always been the case?
Probably, yeah. When I was little, yeah. One of those sort of magical Bible accounts since school.
Anybody else pick Ruth? Mm-hmm. Ooh. What about some of the men? You're smiling like you've got somebody you really want to tell me about.
Hezekiah.
Why did you?
Because when he discovered what was required of him, he did it and did it with great faith.
Okay. Two more? Anyone want to share?
David?
Oh, if I'd have known David, I'd have barred David. Go on, David.
I can relate to him quite well, so yeah, sharing the same name.
Okay, one more?
James.
Well, that's an interesting one. I've not had that one before. James?
He had to reflect on his life and turn it around and think differently.
Okay. We'll reflect on that a little bit. What about the fun bit? What did you want to be when you were 10? I had a very prominent brother in Leicester that said, I wanted to be a window cleaner. And then he said, I said, why didn't you achieve it? He said, because I'm scared of heights. They probably didn't know that at 10. Okay, anybody got any interesting ones, what they wanted to be at 10?
A cowboy.
A cowboy?
Be a chieftain.
I can't wait to get to the next one of yours. Why didn't it? What changed? Anybody else? Anybody got any interesting ones? There's got to be an astronaut somewhere. James, let's pick on James. What do you want to be? Footballer. A what?
F1 driver.
You still want to do that though, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Anybody else?
He needs a sponsor. And a couple of stone as well.
Anybody else? Want to share what he wants to be at 10? Any ladies? Come on.
A nurse.
Did you achieve it? Okay, so we've gone through the first bit. Your Bible character sometimes, most of the time I would say, relates to what kind of person you are, I think. I think you do associate. That's why the Bible is so rich in characters, because a lot of the characters in there, there's a character for everybody in the Bible to relate to, and I think it's fantastic that there's so many characters in there that you can relate to. And the dreams at 10, I mean, if you wanted to be, I have to be careful here, but I come from a coal mining area in north of Sheffield, so actually, if you're at 10, I wanted to be in a coal miner, I literally couldn't have been that coal miner now, because there is no pits left. So it's interesting that actually the environment, when we talk about these three things, the environment changes as you go along. And the world changes, so we have to naturally adapt. We have to change. So the last one for your list. What would you like to be remembered for? Think of all those characters in the Bible. I'll give you a couple of others while we think about it. John the Baptist, to me, the forerunner of Jesus. I have always got John the Baptist down as a messenger. Somebody that made people aware of Jesus. He was the ultimate preacher to me. He made people aware in the environment at the time that something else was coming. He brought people to Jesus. He brought people to the gospel. Caiaphas is an interesting one. The high priest organized the plot to kill Jesus. To me, he was a coward, really. If I was put something on his tag. Peter is another one I usually bar, because obviously our brains tell us he is the rock, he was the church, he was the one that a lot of people associate themselves to. Pontius Pilate is an interesting one, because I actually think deep down Pontius Pilate was quite a good person, but I think what he lacked and what he didn't understand, God was in control. But his personal character, I think, was he was a bad leader. He could have controlled people better. And then the last one, which I think is so for our youth today, for our young today, Thomas. Thomas got branded from one moment forever. One moment of that slight loss of faith, and he got branded as Doubting Thomas. And that's why when I started to talk about Elisha, I asked myself the question, because we get Bible characters like Ruth and like Elisha, but what you'll see from a lot of the Bible characters as you go through is sometimes there's one occasion where their faith is recorded. And if you look at Hebrews 11, got that right, didn't I? Yeah. I struggle between 12 and 11. Hebrews 11, you'll realise that there's one occasion, there's sometimes one occasion in Hebrews 11 where they showed strong faith, and that defined their path for the rest of their Bible life. But the reason I like Elisha was he had 60 years-ish. He started from a point where believers were low. He started from a point where preaching was needed, and God gave him his spirit to be able to work through small miracles so that the believers became more. So Elisha to me had a very, the word is stamina for me with Elisha. God gave him stamina. He preached for 60 years. And any of you that have been in the truth for that long, you realise how much stamina is required to be able to go from here to here. But God gave Elisha those miracles to be able to bring those believers up to that point. So I'm going to sit down now, and I'm going to let you put on your piece of paper what you'd like to remember for. And just take 3 or 4 minutes to think about it. And think about that changing environment that we have to cope with each and every day. This trembling world, this is what meditation will be talking about shortly. This trembling world that's happening out there, you as an individual have to adapt. God will always remain the same and steady. I have 3 minutes. Thank you. You can talk amongst yourselves if you want. Realised that you could stay so quiet.